Okay, everybody mute themselves, please. I should have muted you all first. Muted. Oh, Okay. So we're on Daf Lamed today. Let me go back to the Mishnah on Daf Tavna Beis. Okay, page 58. I'll go back to the Mishnah, which we did yesterday already. But the Mishnah is saying that when I carry things on Yontiv, I have to do it with a shinui, different than I normally would do during the week. And especially to make it look like it's not nothing to do with the business activity. So the Mishnah says, maybe kariyayin mimakom lamakom, if I'm transporting jugs of wine from point A to point B, which I'm allowed to do. Rashi says, I'm betocha tchum, or you have an Erev, so I definitely could do it. He says, lo yivim besalav kupa, I shouldn't carry it with a basket or a box. I'll carry it on my shoulder. I'll do it differently than I do during the week. I'll carry it on my shoulder, or I'll carry it in front of me, but obviously I won't be able to carry as much as I normally would. Or if I'm transporting tevin straw, and the reason I'm transporting the tevin is either for fuel or animal food, I shouldn't like hang the box behind me. I'll carry it in my hands in front of me. Then the Talmud Mishnah says, we don't understand this halacha so clearly, but we'll clarify hopefully in the Gemara. If I have a pile of straw that I haven't touched before Yontiv, and it's a question of muksa, and now I want to take some of the straw for fuel, even though I didn't designate it from before Yontiv, and I'm not accustomed to taking it from that pile, so I nevertheless, I can take straw from that pile, even though I didn't designate it for fuel before Yontiv. But I can't take the wood and the muksa. Here, the muksa is used in a different sense. We're like up till now, we're talking about muksa. You know, you can't move an object is muksa. Here, muksa means like in the backyard is muksa. It's an area that like is designated, set apart, and I don't intend to touch any of the wood there. So that I can't. So it seems like a little bit of a steer in the Mishnah. The Mishnah on the one hand is saying I could take from the straw. That sounds like it's like the Tana who holds lately muksa. Rav Shimon holds lately muksa. Rav Shimon has a narrower view of muksa on Yontif and on Shabbos. So I have a green light to take from the straw. But lo beitzim shiva muksa, I can't take the wood in the backyard. That sounds like the Tana Rabbi Huda who holds from muksa. So we'll see in the Gemara. We'll clarify with that. Okay, everybody good so far? All right, let's see the first line in the Gemara on the second line on Lamed Amud Aleph. So Gemara, Tana taught in a Braisa, Imiyav Shar L'shan Mutar. If he's not able to change, in other words, Mishnah saying, I carry things in a different fashion on Yontiv than I would during the week. And the same thing would be true on Shabbos if I'm permitted to carry in that area. But if I can't, I'm allowed to carry in the normal fashion. And Rashi explains what would mean I can't, the third narrow line in Rashi. Imiyav Shar L'shan Kion Shazimin Orechim Harbe. Let's say I invited, 100 guests to my house. Now I have to have wine for all 100 guests. So then mutar, I could bring it in a box the way I normally would. And because in the Mishnah, the way it was, I was ending up bringing less. And there was Mishnah, don't bring it in the box. Bring it, you'll bring it in front of you, whatever. On the table, you'll take one or two. But if I'm being pressed for other reasons, so I can carry in my normal fashion. Okay, now, the next Gemara, there's more than one way to understand the next Gemara. First, I'll do the way Rashi has it, and then I'll do it the way Rambam has it, okay?
Before you go to the next, can I ask you a question on the Rashi? Does Rashi assume
Wait, 10 more lines, and I'll pause, okay? So we'll just hold it for 10 more lines, okay? So Atkin Rabba Mechuzah, Rabba established in Mechuzah. Mechuzah is a town in Babel. The Daro Beduchka, a person normally would carry with a lot of effort, he says, Lidru Baragla. So now on Yontiv, he should make a shinui. And again, the shinui, there was a different way of carrying and preferably a way that involves less effort. So Lidru Baragla, so the way Rashi understands Baragla, it sounds like a pitch, sort of like a pitchfork. He's got like an instrument that has like two teeth. And the way I understand it, he'll lean it against his back and be able to like have an object go on it, and it's easier to go that way. So in other words, so Ladaro Beducha. So if normally he'd be carrying with a lot of effort on his shoulder, Ladaro Baragla. So in Yontiv he should carry Baragla. Baragla doesn't mean his leg, but it means he'll use this instrument to help him carry it. Ladaro Baragla, if normally he would carry Baragla, which is like this pitchfork, but it's like a wooden pitchfork, he says, and one tooth goes on one shoulder, one tooth goes on the other shoulder, and then it lies behind him, puts the bird in the air. But normally he carries it that way. So then on Yontif, he should carry it with a pole. He'll have the pole on one shoulder, and his friend will take the pole on the other shoulder, and they'll carry the object. The Darba Agra, normally they carry it with a pole, the Darba Achba. So now they should carry Ba'achba. So Rashi learns Ba'achba. Where's Rashi? He says, so they'll carry it with a pole, but they'll hold the pole. He says, and then the Darba Achba, who is that? If they normally carry it with a pole, but on their, with their hands, Nifro Sudra Leve. So they'll put like a kerchief over it to make a shinui. Beim lo afshar, if that's not possible, shari. That's what we said earlier. We quoted the Bryce above that there's no other way to do it, so I'm going to leave it the way it is. Okay, what do you have for me, Vern? What's up, Vern?
Oh yeah, we said on Yontif that Rashi said that this all has to do with doing the malacha. Is if you couldn't prepare for it before Yontif, etc. So I'm wondering if, according to this first Rashi, if it's either surprise company or something that could not be done before Yontif, or if that does not apply to carrying.
I think we were talking about ochel tzorach ochel nefesh. That's what you're talking about. Melechet ochel nefesh. That's what we're talking about in Yontif. Which malachot are permissible, which are not. So Rashi's hesber was that those malachot that I could have done before Yontif, I don't have a green light to do them on Yontif. That's what Rashi says.
So now if I could have carried the wine.
Now we're talking about like a slightly different issue. In other words, I need to do the Hotzah on Yontif, and I'm allowed to do Hotzah for Ochel Nefesh on Yontif. Everybody agrees I could do Hotzah for Ochel Nefesh. But in addition to that, I have to avoid doing it the way I normally do during the week. In other words, it looks too much like Mekach Memkar if I do it the way I do during the week, and I should make a shinui to make it look different. That's the part we're talking about now. In other words, it's a slightly different topic. In other words, before we're talking about which malacha, in other words, everybody agrees this malacha is permissible, but the question is, I don't want it to look like an uvd dekol. I don't want it to look like Mecca Komen Kar.
That's how to do it. Okay.
Right, that's it. Okay, welcome everybody. Nice to have you, Michael. Nice to have you, Shai. Okay, we're on Lama and Amidala.
Is that a Messiah thing?
What's up? Can you,
is that a Maris? Is that Maris Ayin or just?
Well, no, I don't think it's necessarily in Akinami. It's the way it looks, but I don't think it's a din per se in Maris Ayin. It's right. It's more like the chol, right? That's what Yosef was saying, but I think that is correct. Okay, all right. Let's take a look back in the Gemara. Okay, so we're on line 6 on Lamed Amalal. Amalei Rav Chana bar Rava Rabashi. Amar Rabbanan kama de efshar l'shenuyei mishaninan. He says, so Rav Chanan said to Rav Ashi, the Chami say, whatever change you should make, you should make the change. And we said in terms of transporting things. But they have these women, they fill their buckets of water on Yontif. They don't make any shinui from the way they do it during the week. We don't say anything to them. How is that possible? In other words, it doesn't seem like that's correct. So Amar Le, Mishum is low Efshar. He says, in that case, like there's no other possibility to deviate from that. Hey, Chila Avid, what should they do? Demalia Bechatzah Rabba, Tamalia Bechatzah Sutta. Maybe you say, if normally they take a large bucket, we'll have them take it with small buckets. But Kamasha Behilucha, but then you're going to increase the Tirka, you're going to have to make many more trips. And that we don't want to do that either on Yontif. Demalia Bechatzah Sutta, if they take a small bucket normally during the week, maybe they should take a big bucket, but Kamashi Bamasu, they're gonna increase like the weight, which is also something to want to do. Tachasye Benachtama. Now there's a question whether these words belong in the Gemara or not. And the it seems like Rashi doesn't have it here on this line, and the Gra takes this or connects this with later sugi, but Tachasye Benachtama, if they would cover the bucket with a lid, which they normally don't do during the week. So the way we have it in the Gemara, they'll end up carrying this lid. And the question is, the way, if you have these words, would be that on Yontif, it's only a Hotzah that I need for Tzorech, right? In other words, I'm allowed to carry things, but it has to be for Tzorech Yontif. But if I'm just carrying the lid by itself and I don't need that lid, that's a Hotzah Shlo Tzorech. I'm not allowed to do that. He says, Tiktere, maybe they should tie the lid to the bucket. She says, Zibnin demafsik ba'ati lemikterei. Sometimes the thing may break and they'll come to make a knot and they'll do a malacha doraisa. Tifro shudra ilabei. Maybe they should, you know, put a kerchief over it and make a shinui in that fashion. And a kerchief is very light and will increase the amount of effort involved. Zimin demit mishbamaya. Sometimes a kerchief will get wet in the water. Ba'ati ledei schitim. And will come through schitim. Now, earlier in the Gemara, 10 lines earlier, we mentioned the Eitzah of covering it with a kerchief. And there the Gemara endorsed it. Remember, that was with Rava up above. Remember, Akin Rava b'Mechuza. And the sixth line, the Gemara was Difra Sudri Labay. So the Rishonim are machalic between the cases. The way Tosos takes it is earlier we're talking about a case where it wouldn't become wet. It's like a small opening at the top of the jug. Or the way the Rashba understands it, so this is the way the Arsum reported the Rashba, that is talking here, or earlier is talking about like covering dry fruit. Here we're talking about covering water. He says, we blocked the skita, Hilkak Loepsha. So there's no other possibility, and that's why we leave them do it, and then they are. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. All right. Now, all right, let me see. So Amalei, Rav, okay, everybody good so far? Anybody questions up till now? Everybody good? Let me get this back. I get so lost with this thing. I don't know what I did. Okay. Okay. I don't know if everybody heard the comment, but okay. All right. All right.
Anyway, what was it?
Loud. Okay, anyway, Sal says that they should have the husbands carry the water. That'll be the shinui. Okay.
Of course. That too.
Okay, okay. Any questions or comments or thoughts, anything I did so far? Otherwise, I'm going on. Okay? So in Laman Amnalef, midway down the column, the first word on the line is Amar Lay. In other words, so Amar Lay, now the Gemara is diverting to a slightly moving away from the topic slightly. We got into the issue about criticizing people who we think are violating the halakha. And we said there was nothing that they could do differently there with the water. And now the Gemara is going to get into the issue where people are not doing things up halakha, and do we give them tochacha or not? So Amalei Rav Barav Chan in Labaye Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah, we learn the Mishnah, and this Mishnah is kind of that on Shabbos and on Yantiv, we're not allowed to clap one hand against the other. Misapkin is to take one's hand and clap one's thigh. Bein Marakim, we don't dance on Yantiv. And the idea is, it's a gzeira because of Shemi Yitaka and Klei Shir. We're afraid that it's related to music. So a number of people say the clapping is to a beat. Like, that's what I can't do. He says, Bein Misapkin, Bein Marakim. Va'idna de kasin da adin hachi. But today, we see that people are busy clapping and dancing. We don't say anything to them. So how come we do that? So Amar Lay, so Abai said to him, Latame, but according to your rationale, had the Amar on the side, he says, should be Rabba with a hay. Had the Amar Rabba, relative inishapuma de lechia. Rabba said that a person shouldn't sit near a lechi on Shabbos. So lechi, if you remember from Masechet Eruvin, is if you have a mavui, so mavui is like an alleyway. So if everybody does shitufei mavot, we can carry in the mavui. But at the entranceway of the mavui, where it meets the reshit rabim, I have to have a lechi or a korah. So lechi is a vertical beam, and a korah is a horizontal beam. So I have one of those two, and that'll be a heker either for, there's a question whether it's a heker for b'nei reshit rabim or for people in mavui, but I have a lechi or a korah at the entranceway. So Rabbi says, a person shouldn't sit near the entranceway where the lechi is, because maybe when he's sitting there, something that has will roll away from him, and then he'll come to carry it. In other words, if it rolls away through Shitz Rabbim and he carries it in the Mavui, he's going to be chayav for, that would be hafnas on Shabbos. But the idea is he'll end up doing, you know, an av malacha. But we have these women, the Shaklan Chasvai, who they take their buckets or pitchers, and they come and they sit by the entranceway of the Mavui. We don't say anything to them. So again, so we brought up two issues where Rabbi Baruch Hanan brought up an issue to Abai, but I brought up an issue to him. The thing is, people are clapping and dancing on Shabbos and on Yantiv, but not saying anything. And then the other issue is that, so Abai says, what about people? We have the same thing with the women sitting in the left. We don't say anything. Why not? Whereas with women, we say that it's better that they be shogeg than to be mazed. In other words, our evaluation is they're not going to listen to us anyway. So if I tell them you're not allowed to sit near the entrance of the mavui, right now they're shogeg. They don't know they're not allowed to do it, so it's shogeg. But if I tell them they can, they're going to do it, and then they'll be mazed. So it's better that they be shogeg than they be mazed. That's what he's saying. He says, mutav shushogeg nal yimzidin. Hakanami, so similarly here, this is what Abai is explaining, with the clapping and the dancing, Hanachlan Israel, leave them alone with the clapping and the dancing. Mutav shushogeg nal yimzidin. Better to be shogeg, not mizidin. But then the Gemara says, v'ani min l'drabanan. That's only if the underlying prohibition would be a rabbinic prohibition. That's the way the Gemara thinks right now. In other words, both prohibitions that we discussed up to now would be rabbinic prohibitions. In other words, the prohibition against sitting in the entrance with the mavui is definitely rabbinic. In other words, I'm just afraid it might lead to doing a beir on a deraisa level, but that's rabbinic prohibition. And clapping is also a rabbinic prohibition. I'm afraid it's going to lead to tikkun klei shir, which would be a malacha deraisa, but it's the rabbinic. About the deraisa low. But if it's a Torah prohibition, then I wouldn't say that. Then we're going forward and we're telling them, even if it leads to mazid. But the Gemara says, Velohi, that's not true. He says, Lo shana b'derayta, lo shana d'rabanan. Doesn't make a difference if the underlying prohibition is min haTorah or d'rabanan. Lo amina lehu, lo amina. We don't say anything to them. Aha, tosefet yom kippur in d'raytu. There's a mitzvah min haTorah to add on to yom kippur. In other words, that, you know, there's a difference in Zmanim, but like once Shkia happens, then it's Safik Yom Safik Live. That's a Sveika Dereisa. But beyond that, though, there's a mitzvah to add on to Yom Kippur. So let's assume Shkia is at 6 p.m. So then I don't want to begin my fast at 6 p.m. I want to begin my fast, let's say, at 5:30 or 5:40. Because there's a mitzvah for me to add Mechol El Kodesh. We do this every Shabbos also. There's much more explained, but this, he says, Tosefet Yom Kippur, right? So the obligation to add on to Yom Kippur is a mitzvah in a Torah that I should add on to it. He says, but we see these women, they're eating and drinking up until nightfall. They're eating, let's say, till 6 o'clock. We don't say anything to them, even though the underlying prohibition is a prohibition on a derayis level. So let me cut to the chase with this. This is a big topic, but the Mefarshim explained that, that if I think, that's only if I know they won't listen to anything I say. I'm 100% certain they're not going to listen to me. But if there's a possibility they will listen to me, then I have an obligation to go forward and say something. So if I'm 100% sure they're not going to listen to me, I don't say anything. But if there's a possibility they'll listen to me, then I have an obligation to go and say something. In addition to which, the Mepharshim would distinguish, I think they quoted here from the Bali Etur, that if the prohibition is written mefurish in the Torah, see the Tosefet Yom Kippurim, so that's something Chazal teach us. It says b'tishalach chodesh ba'erev me'erev v'erev tish b'tu shabbatem. From the ninth of Tishrei in the evening to the next evening, you should observe your Yom Kippur. Because I'll understand from there, there's a mitzvah of Tosefet Yom Kippurim. But if it's something that's mefurish in the Torah, like it says a black and white in the Torah, then even if they're going to be mazed, the presumption is that they know what's written in the Torah, so then I have mitzvah to say to them. Okay, let me just say a few things, then I'll pause and we'll talk. I'll go and say, let me get some things out. So this is a sucker. We don't need this. Yeah. All right. So. He quotes here from a tshuva from Moshe Feinstein, and this is, you know, before Tekiyat Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so many rabbis announced that, you know, you're not supposed to be mafsik, you're not supposed to interrupt with any speech from the beginning of Tekiyat Shofar to the end of Tekiyat Shofar. So he says, Rav Amerikai, an American rabbi, he says he knew his shul, and he thought that many of them are not, he's going to make the announcement, they won't listen to him. So in other words, he's like talking the wall. If I say don't interrupt, they're not going to listen to him. So they'll discuss it afterward. They'll discuss and then they'll keep talking and talking. So his question was, should I make the announcement or leave it alone? And it was like, is it mutav shushogeg nal yimzidin? That's his question that he posed to Rav Moshe. So he goes through the whole sugi here. Tosefet Yom Kippurim. Yeah. So I shouldn't go wild with using this pile of Mutav Shushugin, like the Tash Bates points out. He says, it's, in other words, the Torah is going to fall apart if nobody, you know, takes, you know, if I misuse this pile of Mutav Shushugin. So the Rishonim explain that the only time I say Mutav Shushugin, which I said to you already, is when I know with 100% certainty they're not going to listen to me. But if there's a possibility that they will listen, then I have an obligation to go and be Mochiah. And in addition to which, if it's an Easter that's Mefurish in the Torah, I also have an obligation to say something. In other words, if it's not Mefurish in the Torah, it might be that he's really a Shogeg. But if it's Mefurish in the Torah, then Mesama, we think that he probably knows about it, and we have. So, all right, now what's with the shul? So Ramosha said like this, if we analyze it here, so he should certainly make the announcement, because this Kahal is like many people in the Kahal, in the Kila, so it can't be that nobody is going to listen to it. In other words, let's say 15% of the people will listen to what the rabbi says and 85% won't. So we still have an obligation for those 15% to go forward and to say something. And then he goes on and adds that there's a possibility, if there's a possibility just to tell the people who will listen to him, you know, to kind of divide up the group of people, then that might be another way to go with it. Now, then he also raised another issue, Rav Moshe does. He says, there's a safek. It's not so barur, so clear with the Easter about not talking during the shofar. And we certainly can't talk when the Baal Tokeh is making the kolod, but to talk, let's say, you know, between, in other words, let's say that he did Kiyos de Miyushav, he did 30 kolod, and now they're going to be up to the Kiyos in the Chazar Shats. So it's not so clear. He says it might just be a Minat Tov. And so, so he says, and that being the case, so that then Mitzad Achadi certainly should not hold back from making an announcement, because even if they go ahead and speak, they're not going to be over on an Easter Kamor. So that would cut even more that I should make the announcement, because even if they don't listen to me, you know, but on the other hand, they're not going to be mechalik between different minhagim. They're like, he says this, he says that. Anyway. So then he mentions at the end of this, this is from the Moro Dafyomi, that's done with Ramosha. He mentions the words of the Chabad Chaim. He writes in the Hagdama on the Sefer Shmir Lashon and Lashon Hara. He says, some people will avoid learning the halakha of Lashon Hara because under the rationale, better I should be shogay than not be mazed, because they realize that they won't be able to successful to seal their mouths. But they should know that that's no mamash with their tainus, because these halachot, he says, are mefurish in the Torah, and we don't say it's mutav shoshogin. He says mefurish. All right. Anyway, that's that piece with that. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything that Seder did so far?
Yes, yeah. He mentioned before with the Yom Kippur about the women, but where does it say in this piece that the Yom Kippur thing applies to women and not to men?
Well, actually, it's an interesting topic. I didn't get into this. He had another piece about with the women and the men as well. But the presumption, I assume, would be that since women are obligated in fasting on Yom Kippur, they're also obligated in everything that's associated with the fast, which would also be the Tosefet Yom Kippurim.
But one would think that a woman is eating with her Baal HaBayit, you know, before Yom Kippur, and he would say, it's time not to eat now.
Yeah, I don't know. The Gemara, that's what the Gemara says. That there's a question what the correct piyush in the Gemara is here. I didn't go through this other piece here.
Because Art Scroll doesn't mention women in that part. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, when it says Nashe, it means women, but the Marshal is Magia, and he's
on the Yom Kippur.
The Marshal says it means Perish Anashim, it means men. He says, But the Rambam writes, of course, it's talking about women. Now he's talking about Tosefet Yom Kippurim. So the question whether it's talking about women or men, that's one thing. And then he has another piece here. I didn't go through this whole piece. All right, but that's the way I have to leave it at this point. Okay, let me go further in the Gemara. All right. What's up? Anything else?
It's not Mefurish in the Torah. If that's the principle, well, it means all Drabbanans are not Mefurish in the Torah. So would you say we shouldn't say anything for any Drabbanan?
Yeah, no, so that's what I said. It means that if you think 100% certain the person won't listen to you, then don't say anything.
And
but, if you think that this is, let's say there's a 20% like possibility to listen or she'll listen, then you should say something.
So the criteria is 100% certainty? Is that what you're saying?
Right. I mean, right. That's what the Rishonim are saying, that if there's 100% certainty they won't listen, then Mutav Shushogin volume is even. All right? Oh. All right. Let's see back on the Gemara. Okay, so we're 10 lines from the bottom on Lamed Amar Aleph with two dots. Okay, so then we said in the last part of the Mishnah, Umarchilim Bareimen Ateven. There's a different halakha. The Tana Mishnah said that if I have a pile of straw that I didn't in any way designate before Yantiv, so it's a Muksa issue, and I want to take some of the straw for fuel, I could dig into that pile of straw. But the wood that's in the muksa, which means behind the house, that I can't do. So Rav Kahana says, from the mission, it sounds like I could, you know, start using an otar, meaning things that have been put away for long-term storage, I could begin using them on Yantiv. So Mani, according to whom does our mission go? Rabbi Shimon he lately muksa. So the Gemara says, Mistama, our Mishnah must go like the Tana Reb Shimon. We've had this before, but just going over again, that Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, they're bar plukas through Shas, but they Reb Shimon holds, like, doesn't mean he doesn't hold for Muksa at all. And it means he has a narrower view of Muksa. He says, Ema Seifa, but let's go to the next line of the Mishnah. He says, you can't touch the wood that's in behind the house, which is almost as we think it's the same situation. And if I can't touch that, a ton of Rabbi Yehuda did lay muksa. That sounds like Rabbi Yehuda holds from muksa. So I didn't designate this wood from before Yantiv, so I can't touch it. It's muksa. And again, muksa is used two different ways here. Muksa means like the backyard, like the thing that I'm like makatsa for my das, I'm not to do with it. And then muksa means things that I can't move. So the Gemara says no. Hacha b'arzi b'ashuche askin on the muksa machmar tisern kis v'Reb Shimon modem. So we can explain the Mishnah is all according to the Tana Reb Shimon, but when we said wood behind the house, it doesn't mean garden variety wood. It means arze v'ashuche, and I'm not an expert on this, but the male cedar and the female cedar. Here I need a botanist. I'm used to turn to you, Shaya, but we'll hear from some of our horticultural people. But there's male cedar and female cedar. He says that is very good building material. So I put it away. It's like very valuable building material. So that's called muksamachman fisarun kis. In my mind, I'm designating it just for building material. I don't want anybody pasking around with this for any other reason. So even Tana Reb Shimon says, yeah, Taka, that's Muksa. So our mission could be like the Reb Shimon. So Tevin, that's fine. It's just, you know, it Reb Shimon lately Muksa. But Muksa Machman Chisaron Kis, that's like when I have a very valuable item that he holds from. That's one way to explain the Mishnah. Then, Ikadamat Ilo Asefa. Some learn that Rav Kahana's statement was made concerning the last line of the Mishnah. Zoro Meret ain machin ba'otzar tchila, meaning that when it says about that of aloba eitim shuba muksa, that you can't touch the wood that's in the muksa in the backyard, means I can't touch or invade like a storage area. So mani Rabbi Yehuda did like muksa. So lechora that would be like the town of Rabbi Yehuda holds from muksa. So ain areisha machin ba'reiman ateben. But at the beginning of the Mishnah says I can, you know, I can get involved with the straw pile, even though I didn't designate for Yantiv. A town of Reb Shimon lately looks. So that sounds like Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says, no, Inakinami, the whole Mishnah could be like the town of Reb Yehuda. But Hata Bativna Sarya, over there, when it talks about the straw, it's only a straw that like stinks. It's like it's like rotting. So in that case, so the only thing that would be usable as is fuel. In other words, nobody has no other use other than fuel. So even though I didn't designate it, it's the stinking straw. I'm not going to use it for feed. I'm not going to use it for any other purpose. I'm just going to use it for fuel. So he says, so even Rabbi Yehuda would say, I could touch it. So he says, Tinasarya Chazi Latina, but even the stinking straw could be used like to make cement, you know, like in Mitzrayim and Parshas Shemot. Now we're in the beginning of a new cycle now, like another 10 weeks we'll have that. So, you know, the Bnei Israel, you know, the Koshesh Kash Latevin, they would take the straw, it would help them, you know, make the building, the plane and everything. So the Gemara says, no, it may coat him. It has thorns in it. So Rashi brings down the last Rashi, it may coat him. Vain pull of God will be a devil. He can't eat it with his hands or with his feet, you know, because it's going to like hurt him. So the only thing that straw is good for is fuel. So in that case, Tana Rabbi would say, Inakinami, you could touch the straw. So anyway, so there's two ways to understand the Mishnah. Either the Mishnah is going completely according to Reb Shimon, so I have a green light with the Arim and Ateben in the front, but the Eitzim Shibamoksa, why the Eitzim Shibamoksa, why the Eitzim Muksa Muksa, that because it was like very valuable wood. It's the cedar wood, the male cedar and the female cedar wood, that I plan to use for building materials. So even the Reb Shimon is motivated to Muksa. Or else the whole Mishnah could be like the town of Reb Yehuda, who holds from Muksa. So the last part is easy to understand. It can't touch the Eitzim, that makes sense. I didn't designate it, but how come I could touch the straw? The straw was sticking straw, and the only thing I use that straw for is hesek, is for fuel. So even Tana Rabbi Yehuda would say, yeah, that's as if it's designated, because that's the only purpose it's used for. Okay, who's the question that comes to us, anything they did so far? Everybody good? Okay. Okay, all right, let's do the next one. Okay, let's turn page, we're on Laman number base. Okay, everybody with me, Laman 30B, the top line. Okay, Manitin, Einotlam Eitzim in a Sukkah, Element of Samafla. So here when it talks about Sukkah, it doesn't mean like our Sukkah we just had on Sukkah. It means just like a hut. And Rashi points out it could be a hut that they have on Pesach or Shavuos. So Einotlam Eitzim in a Sukkah, we think right now in the Hava Amina that it means that there's a, like we have Sukkah on our regular Sukkah and Sukkahs, but I have like the ceiling material. So Einotlam Eitzim in a Sukkah, I can't take wood from the covering of the sukkah, ela min asamakla. Min asamakla, now the word samak can mean near, but samak can mean that which lies on or leans on it. So min asamakla, we think it means you have the essential roofing material and the additional roofing material. So the essential roofing material I can't touch, but the additional one we could. Let's do the top line of Rashi. In the open eitzim in a sukkah, you go on Pesach or Batzeret, on Pesach or Shavuos, is he sitting in a sukkah in his garden or his orchard? In other words, right now we think that the ceiling is very thick. It's got a thick covering of reeds. He says, Mutarli told me him, I can take some of the reeds. So the Gemara asks, how can I take it? I'm doing an act of stira. They came into Bible, the Gabi Schach, who port the shakam in a stiri. It's going to be stira. Okay, that's the question. All right. So that's the issue. So we think right now the pshat is that the I have reeds on the roof of this hut. You know, it's not like our sukkah, but it's a hut. So the reeds, the non-essential reeds, I can remove. We think that it's not an act of stira of destroying it because it's non-essential. And the other reeds I have to leave alone. Now that's what we think the pshat mishnah is. So the Gemara says, Maishnam in a sukkah below, so why can't I take the essential reeds, the kasatar ala? I'm doing an act of stira. Stira is a malacha. It's a malacha on Shabbos, a malacha on Yantam as well. He says, minasamukla nami kasatar ala. But minasamukla means from the additional reeds that are on top, that's also an act of stira. Minasamukla was a thick roof, but I'm doing an act of stira. So Amar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, my samuk, samukla defanot. So Rav Yudah says in Shmuel, what does it mean, samuk? Doesn't mean that it was lying on the roof, the way we thought up till now. Means it was like reeds that are like leaning against the walls. In other words, the walls are like woven reeds or whatever, and then I have other reeds leaning against it. So the ones that are not really part of the walls, those I'm allowed to take. That's what we think the Mishnah is saying. Rav Menashe Amar, Apilutim B'Shein Samach L'Defano. Rav Menashe says, no, I don't have to say the reeds that are leaning against the walls. I could say it's the reeds on the roof. But Kitanya he be Easter Yata. When the Mishnah says I can take reeds off the roof, it means the reeds that were bound together in a bundle. So the reeds that were bound in a bundle, that's clear. I never intended it to be part of the roof. In other words, I constructed my sukkah and I have my roof, and then I took like a bundle of reeds and I put it on the roof, maybe just to keep it there. So those bundle of reeds I can move on Yantiv because it's not an active soter. Okay? Everybody good? All right. Let's take a look. Now we're near the small aleph around the seventh line on Lamed Beis. That's what we said because the walls. Remember, the walls are like woven. Rashi says there's an. Let's look at Rashi. Samach l'defanot, the second arrow line. Kanim and his kafim sivot l'defanot. They're standing up upright near the walls. Kaman shalom ne'erguma dofen. They weren't woven together with the wall. Lobatim l'gabi dofen. They're not part of the wall. The ainu domen the samach l'schach shaschach ainu arug. It's not like the schach. The schach is not woven. We just throw things on the roof. That's just the roof. But pichach and kol shava ha'elyon k'tachon schachu. So when it comes to schach, everything's schach. I throw it on and it's like a zelbazach. But the wall, it's clear which is the wall, which is not the wall. That's what we think. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tani Rebchi bar Yosef, Kami to Rebbe Yochanan. So Rebchi bar Yosef, and again, the Bach changes the Tanya to Tani. So Tani Rebchi bar Yosef, Kami to Rebbe Yochanan. He told the following Brisa before Rebbe Yochanan. A notlim eitzim in a sukkah, elim in a stomach law. That you're not allowed to take wood from the sukkah, which is similar to what our Mishnah said, elim in a stomach law. So in a stomach law, we can explain the way we just did. It could be that I have a bundle of reeds that are on the roof, those I can take off. Rebbe Shimon Matir. But whatever it is that the Tanakama prohibited, Rebbe Shimon is Matir. Rebbe Shimon permits a person to do that. So we have to explain what he's permitting and why he's permitting it. The Shavin, but they both agree, that whatever that action is, that Rebbe Shimon is Matir, everybody agrees on Sukkot, it's different. But if he stipulated ahead of time, everything follows his stipulation. So we don't understand this Braisa, and we're going to spend some time in the Gemara trying to figure out what the Braisa means. What's up? Again, when we talk about when we talk about Malacha, Malacha isn't defined by exertion. Malacha is doing one of the 39. Listen. Here's a soup. Okay. So when we talk about 39 different types of malacha, so certain malachot are permissible on yantid, but soter is not permissible on yantid. So if I remove a reed, it doesn't mean that there's a lot of exertion with removing a reed, but nevertheless, the Gemara. But it could be malacha of soter. That's the problem.
So why is that?
No. Remember that you're talking about malacha. If it's a malacha, then it has to be ochel nefesh. But the Gemara said if it's a malacha, I can't remove it. In other words, we're only permitting to remove it if it's not a malacha. You can only remove it if it's not a malacha. So that's what the Gemara says. How can I remove it? He's doing malacha. So the Gemara says no. That the reeds were bound together, and so it's not part of the structure, not a malacha. Okay, that's what the Gemara is saying. So, right.
We define malacha as energy.
No. Okay. That's a whole different parsha. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, and then I'll pause in a little bit. I'll pause in a little bit, okay? Yeah, again, malacha doesn't mean work. That's the key thing. Malacha, in other words, on a derisa level, I can carry a very hairy object in the Rishus Yachid. In this room, I'm not doing malacha. I can take a very light object, I walk outside, I'm doing malacha. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, so the Gemara says, so again, we had a brisa, and we don't understand what the brisa is saying. So the Gemara says, so back we're five lines below the Aleph in parentheses. Reb Shimon Matir. So again, the Tana Kama said that I can't take Eitzim from the Sukkah, Elam and Asamachla. So one way to say is I can only take like the bundle of reeds that are on the roof or the reeds that were leaning against the walls. But Rebbe Shimon is matir. Rebbe Shimon matir b'hakasater alo. So he's matir. He's matir that which the Tanakhama prohibits. So the Tanakhama is prohibiting taking the roofing material off. So that sounds like Rebbe Shimon is matir taking the roofing material. But he's like your question, Abe. He's doing a malacha. And the Torah doesn't permit him to do that malacha. It's like you said, it's not malacha rokel nefesh. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, hacha b'sukkah nofel raskinon. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says the Braisa is talking about a sukkah that collapsed on Yontiv. And again, we're not talking about our sukkahs, we're talking about like a hut that collapsed on Yontiv. Rav Shimon l'ta'ameh lately muksa. So here we're talking about the Tana Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon know lately muksa. He has a narrower view of muksa. He says to Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, and this is the key Braisa, which we mentioned earlier in the Masechta at the very beginning. He says, Motar Hashem and Shibaneir v'Shibakara Asur. So let's say I light a lamp before Yontiv, and I have oil in the lamp. So the oil I would view as Muksa, because I know that I can't remove that oil. If I take the oil away, I'm doing Malacha Mechabe. So my mind is not on that oil. But Reb Shimon holds the leftover oil that's left in the lamp after the light goes out is permissible. So he says, Motor Shem Shemanir Shukar Sur. So the Tanakhama says the leftover oil is prohibited because my mind was not on it. It's Muktzah. I'm not planning to use it because I know I can't use it now. He says, Reb Shimon Matir. Reb Shimon is Matir. In other words, the Tanakhama holds, which is the way we hold, Nigo did Katsai the Baina Shmasho to Katsai the Kuliyama. Once something is Muktzah in Baina Shmasho, it's Muktzah for the whole Yom, even if circumstances change. We discussed this. Remember, I have wet clothes. Remember, on the line going into Shabbos or Yontif. So that's muksa. Even if the dry is later on that day, it remains muksa the whole Shabbos, the whole Yontif. So the Tanakhama holds the leftover oil in the lamp going into Yontif. So that's muksa because I know I can't take that oil out. So I'm not thinking of using that oil. So when if the lamp blows out later on, that remains muksa. That's Tanakhama. Reb Shimon Matir. Reb Shimon, he has a more constricted view of Muktzah. He says it's Mutar. So we think the same Reb Shimon who holds that the Motar Shemin is permissible, here, when the Sukkah was erected, so it was Soter, but now the Sukkah has collapsed on Yontif. So that's the case that Reb Shimon is Matir. He says, I could take the wood now. Now it collapsed. So the Gemara says, Midami, how are those two cases analogous? Hatam Adam Yoshev Mitzapa Imatai Tech Benero. In other words, the Tana Reb Shimon is not like black and white with Reb Yehuda in terms of Muksa. In other words, Reb Shimon says, or he would say, that a person is anticipating when the lamp is going to blow out, and then he intends to use the oil. He knows he can't use it when it's burning, but he's thinking his wine will blow out, and then I'll use the oil. So that's why, even though we hold, you know, me go to Katsai the Benishmashu to Katsai the Kuliyoma, but Muksa for Benishmashu is the whole Shabbos, but Reb Shimon doesn't hold that way. So that's the way he thinks it. But does a person think my sukkah is going to collapse this Shabbos that I could use it? So even the Tana Reb Shimon, even this whole Svara would not hold weight with the sukkah that collapsed on Yontiv. So Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, so Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, we're talking about a dilapidated sukkah. In other words, this sukkah going into Yontiv looks like, you know, like one blow and it's going to come collapsing, crashing down. Going into Yontif, he's already got his mind on it. Like, this thing's not long for this earth, and then I'm going to use the wood. So that's that case to the Reb Shimon. So that's the machloka between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon when the sukkah collapses on Yontif. Okay, everybody good so far? Good? It's talking about just a hut, okay?
Pergola.
What? So again, we hold like the Tanakhama, so muksa, okay? But according to the Tana Reb Shimon, maybe that would change if he knows that he saw the weather report and he's thinking it's going to come down. Maybe it would be different. All right, let's see, back on the Gemara. Now, we're not done with the Braisa, though. Then the Braisa said, again, the Braisa said, he says, Reb Shimon Matir. And then the Braisa says, if you made a stipulation ahead of time, then the stipulation will control everything. So the Gemara says, Umi Mahani Batanai. Oh, I'm sorry, did I skip a line? Does the stipulation help? Rav Sheshit is an Amar, but he has a Masorah from the Tana Rabbi Akiva. How do I know that the wood of the sukkah is certainly the schach? I think there's a question whether it includes the walls. Now, asurin kol shiva, again, you know, we talk about muksa, there's different ideas of muksa. It's the same term, but it means different things in different situations. In other words, when I talk about Shabbos and Yontif, something being muksa, I can't move it, it's muksa. Here we're talking about a muksa mitzvah during the Yontif, I can't derive other benefit from it. That's what he means. That type of muksa. Okay, so he says here, how do I know that the atzi sukkah, the wood of the sukkah, the wood of the schach, is asur for me to divert it to a different benefit? The whole 7 days of sukkahs, shenamar, because the pasuk says chagas sukkot shabbat yamin laHashem, the holiday of sukkah is 7 days laHashem. B'tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Matir Omer. We learn in the Braisa the Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Matir says. How do I know that just like a chagiga is a korban, it's hekdesh, so I can't use it anymore for my own purposes? I'm guided by, you know, what the Torah says I can use it for. that that's the same thing with the sukkah. So it means, let me say it outside, then we'll say it inside. It says chag has to code. So the word chag, they interpret as chagiga. Chag, I bring the chagiga on the chag. That's chag. Sukkot is the sukkah. Shivat yamim l'Hashem. They're both shivat yamim, and there was their l'Hashem. It says minayim shechal shem shemayel chagiga, kashem shemayel sukkah. Tamalom bar chag has to code shivat yamim l'Hashem. Ma chag l'Hashem, just like the korban chagiga is devoted to Hashem, our sukkah l'Hashem. So too, the sukkah is l'Hashem. So the idea is, so how is it that a tanai, a stipulation, is going to help me with the at, with the wood of the sukkah on sukkahs? So Amar Menashe It says Amar Menashe Amar Shmuel. So Amar Menashe Amar Shmuel Sefer Atan the sukkah da alma. So the Gemara is saying that the Brisa has to be said again. The Brisa is very terse, and each line has to be unlocked with its own rules. So again, the Brisa said, let's take the Brisa down slowly. The Brisa said, we learned that this machloket of the sukkah collapses, the non-sukkah sukkah collapses. Am I allowed to benefit from the wood? So according to Shimon, I could. According to the Tanakam, I can. Then the next line says, v'shamin b'sukkah achai b'chag shasura. They both agree that if it's the sukkah for sukkahs, even if the sukkah blows down during sukkahs, that the wood is prohibited from other benefit. Everybody agrees on that. But then the Tana says, if you made a Tanai ahead of time, you stipulated ahead of time, the Tanai will control everything. So the Gemara says, how is it that the Tanai can control everything? It should be the same thing as the Korban Chagiga. The Tanai doesn't help with the Korban Chagiga. I can't say, you know, I'm giving a Korban Chagiga, but subject to this Tanai, it's the same thing here. So the Gemara says, Sebatan the Sukkah Da'ama. So Rabbanashia says the name Shmuel, that last line that says that if you made a Tanai, that's not talking about the halakha immediately preceding about the sukkah during sukkahs. It's going back to the first halakha in the Braisa, a garden variety hot. Then it can be controlled by stipulation. About sukkah the mitzvah lo mahani ba Tanai. But if it's sukkah mitzvah, no, Tanai doesn't help with the sukkah mitzvah. Now, the Gemara says if it's sukkah the mitzvah lo, you mean a Tanai doesn't help by a sukkah for a mitzvah, in other words, our sukkahs. Vahatani, we learned the Braisa, and we've had this before. If a person is, again, talking about our sukkahs now, if a person covered with a schach like halakha, the itra b'kramim u'vistadinim ha'mitsuyarim, and then he decorated it with colored sheets and embroidered sheets, b'talaba, it goes him shekinim afarsikim, and he hung nuts and almonds and quinces, like fruit, rimonim and pomegranates, uparchile and abim, and clusters of grapes, yeno shmanim uslatot, wine, oil, and solid, Rashi says, with bottles. It was it's all hanging from the roof. Va'atarot shibalim, and wreaths of grain. Asurlish tepeg mehenat motzei yom teba akron shalchag. So I can't, once I designate that food as decorations for the sukkah, I can't nash on them until the end of the yantin. He says, v'im hitna aleihem, but if he made a stipulation, I call a pitano, then the stipulation will guide it. So it sounds like, so we said before, when it comes to the mitzvah, I can't make a stipulation. I can't make a stipulation with the chagiga. I can't make a stipulation with the atzei sukkah. But here the Braisa says, I can make a stipulation with the decoration. So how does that work? So Abaye and Rabba to Amri Tavai. So Abaye and Rabba both say, the Omer, any bodilmehen, kobein hashmasho, lochal kedusha layu. About atzei sukkah, the chal kedusha layu, it could say the shiva. So the Gemara says that the two are different. And when it comes to the fruits, I could say my intent is to use these fruits all through bein hashmashot for my own uses if I choose. So then it doesn't get it's not muksa bein hashmashot. But with the sukkah, can I say I'm not bodel from the schach bein hashmashot? In other words, the schach, I can't remove the schach, because I'm going to do an act of stira. So I can't say I'm not bodel at bein hashmashot, because once it's bein hashmashot, I'm under an isur to remove the schach. Like, there's no way that I can remove the schach. So the schach is it katsai from bein hashmashot. But if I make a stipulation with the decorations with the fruit, that's a way for me to remove it from the dinim of muksa. That's what he says. That could be the case. So he says, now, let me just finish the Gemara, then we'll summarize and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So the Gemara says, but the bottom line is, we said that the Atzei Sukkah are muktzah for all 7 days. Once it's mitzvah, that's it. It's like I can't use it. I want to play polo now with the reeds, you know, or I'll hit balls with it because it's katzai all 7 days. So the Gemara says, why is that case different from the following halacha that relates to an esrog? It says, Hifri shiva etrogim l'shiva yamim. The Bryce, or stated rather, it looks like a statement of Amorayim, a person designated 7 etrogim for 7 days of Sukkot. And obviously this is talking about an earlier time, I assume. And remember, we don't take an etrog on Shabbos of Yantiv, but the Gemara in Sukkah, you remember, we did Sukkah, right? Did we do Sukkah yet or not? We did Sukkah, yeah. So the Gemara, Gemara has different stages we went through. Anyway, so he separated 7 etrogim for the 7 days of Sukkot. So Amar Rav, ko achad ba'achad, you would say bava ochol la'alter. So Rav says, after each day he did the mitzvah, he can eat the esrog right away. Rav Asi Amar, ko achad ba'achad, you would say bava ochol la'alter. Rav Asi says, the next day he can eat it. So in other words, the point is that there's a way for me to say something's not muksa for the whole sukkah. I'll say it's just muksa for, you know, 1 day of sukkah. Is the way it sounds like. In other words, the idea is that the esrog is hooked on the mitzvah. The esrog is hooked to the mitzvah. But if I have 7 esrogim, I'm saying I'm going to have a different esrogim. So it's not going to be muktzah for all 7 days, each one. So what does it mean? So one was saying that once soon as I do the mitzvah, I can eat it, or I have to wait a whole day. We'll see in a minute. So how come over there I'm able to do that, but why can't I do the same thing with the Atzei Sukkah? Why is it with the Atzei Sukkah, I use it for schach, that's it. I can't make any tonight. It's 7 days. Here, I have 7 esrogim, I break it all up. So the Gemara says, Hatam Damaski Leilot Miyamin. Over there, the mitzvah of esrog, Luluban esrog, is only during the day. It's not at night. So the nights break up the days. Kulchad Bachad Yoma Mitzvah Ba'api Nafshu. So each day is viewed as a separate mitzvah. So it's a way to me to link it up. In other words, if I don't say anything or do anything, then the presumption is I'm designated for all 7 days. But if I say I have 7 esrog for all 7 days of sukkahs, so the presumption is that each one is going to be a separate mitzvah. Here, by sukkah, the mitzvah of sukkah, there's no interruption of day or night, then this is by day and night for 7 days. So it's all viewed as one long day. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, thoughts, and then hopefully we'll have a minute tomorrow. Okay, and I should mention, I'm sure you heard that, you know, Rav Moshe David Tendler passed away, and he had Leviah from today. He was a very important person in the Jewish world. He had a lot of things that related to medical ethics, and he had his own view about when the person is dead. I remember him saying that he said how Dr. Belkin said to him. He urged him to get, like, he was working on a PhD, like, in biology, where he told him to get to finish the PhD in biology, that Dr. Belkin wanted to make him head of the Department of Biology at NYU. You know, he was Ramosha's son-in-law. I guess Dr. Belkin figured he's the perfect person for the, and he was the first rabbi of the Great Neck Synagogue. So he was at the very inception of our Jewish community here in Great Neck. Yeah, he was the first rabbi of the Great Neck Synagogue. But at that time, the Great Neck Synagogue was above the movie theater here on Middle Neck Road. And he was the first rabbi there. All right.
Do we know what he was nifter from?
I think 2 years. I think he was here.
What was he nifter from?
What?
Do we know the cause of his patira?
I don't know, but he was declining for a while. I did not.
He said,
you listened to online, you didn't go to the funeral. Right? Yeah.
Can you repeat what you just heard?
Michael said that he heard Rav Schechter giving the hesped. Rav Schechter said that Rav Tendler was one of his first rebbeim when he came to YU 60 years ago, and he's the last one of his rebbeim to pass away, is what he was saying. All right. I think I'm going to call it a day with the daf at this point in time. Okay. Nice seeing everybody. I hope to see you all.
Yeah. Good Shabbos. Shabbat shalom.
Okay. Well, let me just end the recording. 1 second. Okay. One second. Okay.